the front. Here we go.
Image and identity are not the same thing. You can be happy or you can be sad. But who am I? With no face, do I lose my identity? God says, seek my face. And a magician and an illusionist do two things. They give you a presentation, but it does not really mean that's who they are. This morning, who am I? And that's a very subject we're going to talk about right this minute. I did say that I normally don't preach on my own, and this morning is no different. So, the question is, who am I? And the question really is key, is an example of that would be the gas man comes to your home, knocks on the door, and he's got his tool belt on, and he looks the part. And a little child comes to the door and says, who are you? And what would be the answer? I'm the gas man. I fix things. The child goes, but no, who are you? I'm the gas man. Little child goes, what's your favorite color? Just think about that for a moment. Is we often portray what we do as who we are. But that isn't necessarily always true. This morning I want to look at things a little bit differently, because we can just look at identity, but sometimes it's often a way of looking at things in a different way and looking at identity theft. What does that really mean? How does that affect us in all aspects? And we think that identity theft doesn't really do anything. It's just something. But it's fraud, and it's a crime. And identity theft does not quite resemble exactly what it does and what it means. It can really undermine the very being of who we are by having it tampered with. So, various methods of information can be stolen from us. So I looked up the government website, because there is a wealth of knowledge to understand the different definitions of your identity and how it can be taken away from you. And the first one I rather like is called dumpster diving, where people can actually rummage through your rubbish that you throw out, your trash. Why are you throwing out all of those items into the garbage? Why would that be? It's because you don't want it anymore. It's something that usually you want to forget. You've used it. It's no longer part of you. So you throw it away. Sometimes we throw away things that have good information on it, like your credit card bill. And that's where the dumpster diving has a wealth of information. And that's exactly what Satan does with us. He wants to know all about you, what's happened in your past, so he can influence your future. When we look at various aspects of things, and what God does is he lets go of our sins. They are nothing. They are shredded. But being shredded means that it cannot be put back together again. Sometimes we don't let go of things to such a degree where we forgive ourselves. As we go through this morning, I will give you examples and also go through pretty much the solution at the same time. So we're going to look at deception, because that's what Satan's all about. Then we're going to look at methods to prepare to resolve, and then a recreation. So it's a three-element piece, but it's going to be all done as we flow through, as you'll see. But here is the example of God lets go, but do we let go? As far as the east is from the west, our transgressions have been removed. But do we let go of them? But if we don't let go, then they're still available for somebody to go digging through. And then there's skimming, stealing your credit card information. Who here has been defrauded in some way? We just got a brand new credit card 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Within 2 weeks, that card had been compromised. And that wouldn't be so bad, but it was done twice. And fortunately, the credit company detected that very quickly by looking at some our behavior, the way that we do things. So we put our trust in a piece of plastic. Where is your trust with Daddy and what we do? Because something being compromised is a very big thing. And it undermines our confidence in everything that we do. Do I trust my credit card anymore? It had a PIN number on it. It was one of the latest security measures in credit card. Yet humanity and the credit company who I base my security upon failed me. But I do know that Daddy never fails me. If I base my security on Daddy, he's never going to fail me. So where do we place our security? Satan wants to steal our information. He wants to undermine any effective way that we work out in the real world. And one of the things that I'd like to look at particularly is the prodigal son. He left. He was deceived. He was abused and everything else when he was away from the father. The first thing that his father did when he returned was put a cloak on him. But there was a second part. He gave him his ring. Now, I know in medieval times in England particularly, the ring was very important because it carried a seal. You've seen in movies where they create a document, seal the document with just your candle wax, and then they push the ring into that piece of paper. That means it's been notarized. The identification of whom it came from was sealed in that ring, within that wax. They didn't have credit card and PIN numbers, but that noted that it was secure, you could trust this document, and that's how banks did their work. It was notarized. You hear that phrase in banks today. It's been notarized. We use signature. Signature is a good way of doing that. So there's an element of security. But we need Daddy's provision, Daddy's security. So don't leave things that are precious to us lying around. Take care of it. And I say Luke 15:11, and you can study that later, and I'm sure we've all looked at the prodigal son very much over the past. But that ring was significant. I never realized until probably last year how significant a ring meant in those times. It wasn't just a precious thing. It was your signature. It was your life. I could imagine why, even more so, that his brother was unhappy, because that was supposed to be his identity as he perceived it. And yet his brother's wearing what was the notoriety of the family. That was the family's mark. That was the family's seal. And his brother's walking around with it. So there's another element to how deep that would be to the brother, because the brother had not got his identity in his father and trusting the father, he would actually undermine in the belief that his identity was tied up in things, not in the essence of his father. Fishing. I have a friend at work that fishes. He loves fishing. And he is as a patient can be, just waiting for that hook to snag that beautiful fish. And he spends days and weeks a year just waiting. And that's exactly what fishing's all about, is sticking a hook and just waiting for something to bite. A pop-up on your screen. There's a great one at the moment, pops up and says that you have a virus. You have a virus and your computer is in trouble. Most of us have got all of our information on that hard disk and we have not backed it up. Who here, has anybody backed up their computer the last week? Whoa. I'm impressed. That's more people than I thought. So, you now are in a panic. Panic mode. You could lose absolutely everything. All your photographs. Because they're not on paper anymore. They're just in this virtual hard disk realm that only really appears when you want to look at it. So now, what do you do? Oh, there's a telephone number. I'll contact that telephone number. And this person now has now deceived you. And you're now going to give them vital information that's now going to undermine your world. You're probably even giving them the password to your computer because you want to let them in because you think that they're going to help you. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants you to let him in. He will fish and fish, and believe me, he's been around a long time. And our lives aren't that long. I know, I'm 50 very shortly. And you know when you're getting to 50 is when your son is hanging around underneath your arm and he's pulling out the hairs out of your ear. So my life is probably halfway through. So it's short, but Satan can fish an awfully long time. He can wait until I'm 75 to make a mistake. Adam and Eve was one of his greatest accomplishments. He resided fishing away as his little snake saying, yes, I know God. I know him very well, and I'm sure he did. He was one of his best friends at one time. So he wasn't lying. Don't have to lie to deceive people. You just don't have to tell them the whole truth. And he sucked them in. And Adam fell for it. And now we're suffering the consequences. So there's consequences to everything that we want to do. And Satan wants to undermine our identity. He wants us to lose our identity in Christ. So, very much from what Satan wants to do, God wants to protect us. I talked about security, and we trust in our credit card companies to be the security. And they do a great job, but they're running a business. They don't want fraud, and they also don't want to lose your business. Satan doesn't want to lose your business either. So the credit card will protect you to a degree, but it comes with a lot of paperwork. We've now filled in an affidavit to say that the transactions were not ours. Now it goes through a process. Are we lying? Jill had a handbag stolen once. It's all about Jill today, have you noticed? Security risk in our family. She had a handbag stolen, and the checks were used, and I was asked to go to the bank, and I'm sat there in front of the bank manager, and he's got the check, and he's holding the edges of the check, and he said, is this your wife's signature? And I go to take the check out of his hand, and he pulls it away. I find out through the conversation, I'm their prime suspect. We have CID at our door, and I say to him, I say, so I'm your prime suspect. And he goes, how do you know? The bank manager told me. He shouldn't have told you that. Well, he did. So what are we going to do about this? I'm now feeling comfortable because I'm now feeling not only have I been undermined, I'm now being accused. My world is now a shadow of what it used to be. My bank account is now frozen. But it wasn't me, officer. Your bank's frozen. You can't get your money. The police don't have a very good high opinion of you. And yet you're innocent. My day was not looking good. In fact, we left the country. No, we didn't, know. That is not why we're here. So, going back to Vic and his fishing, he uses a lure, a shiny thing. We like shiny things. You hook onto that shiny thing, and you can be very, very disappointed. So know who you're dealing with. Know your enemy. But most of all, know your daddy, because he loves us. He is the center of our universe. So our security lies in him. Our identity lies in him. I say, I like going through the government website because, as I say, it gave us a chance to understand a lot more about how the system identifies us and where we live, and how people can actually modify things to make a change. And one of the things is changing your address. You think that your mail is coming to you, but somebody snags it. They snag it, and not only do they snag it, they've got your credit card. They now then, a little bit later, your PIN number comes along, and a little bit later, you have to call in. You can fudge your telephone number. You can make a phone pretend that it's a different number. So if they've been fishing in your actual dumps, in your dumpster style, they've now got your telephone number. So now they've become you. And they go and spend and spend and spend until somebody identifies that it is not you. Somebody I've worked with, and they just recently told me that they had some iTunes on their credit card that they didn't make. And it was only for, you know, a few, maybe $12 worth. So he calls up American Express. Am I allowed to say American Express? Well, too late, it's on tape. And says, I don't think I made these transactions. In fact, I'm sure I didn't. I've made a couple, but not $12 worth. And the guy on the other end says, well, they do make mistakes now again. Wait until your statement comes through, and we'll have a look at it then, and we'll see if we can get it reversed. Statement comes in, $15,000 later, all iTunes. I haven't quite worked out how this worked, but most of them were for $4.95. How do you divide $4.95 into $15,000? Yeah, many times. So I would have thought that the phone call initially would have actually stopped that card for being used. But again, somebody's cloned iTunes somehow. So it really wasn't iTunes that was getting the money. Same with Jill's credit card. I called up this company in Milton. $1,300 worth of items purchased. And I said, who are you? Very much like when I started this morning off. Who are you? What do you do? And he said, you're not the first person this month to call me and say, but he said, it's not us. So the money wasn't going there. So that's another redirect, another change of address. Been done in many different ways. If you think people are cunning, just think what Satan is. He's extremely cunning. And he will undermine our very entity to dislodge us, to make us ineffective. But we have a good go of doing that ourselves. Sometimes we don't need Satan. And sometimes we have our own personal two addresses. I have an address on a Sunday morning and when I go to cell group. I have another address when I go to work, when I hang out with my friends. I haven't had a good week this week. I really have not had a good week. And on top of not having a good week, it's always usually just before I'm about to preach. And it usually gets to the point where Jill takes over because I've been up until the early hours of the morning. And Michael nod because it's not been a good week, has it, Mike? No. And I found myself letting out a few words that was not a good reflection of Christ. I swore a few times. And that's not good. That wasn't Satan. He can try and undermine my confidence, but it's what do I do about it? So I'm not perfect. So it means I've got a little bit of an address that I need to deal with. I've got one foot in a place where I shouldn't have it. So, you know, there's an old saying, I used to be confused, but I'm not so sure now. And that's kind of where I was at, is that I was so overwhelmed and with it in a place that I shouldn't be, and I was particularly angry, so that it came shooting out of my mouth. So that's not a reflection of Christ in me. And I'm a little bit ashamed of it, but the reality is I'm aware of it. I can do something about it. And as I say, Satan didn't do it. He might have pushed a few buttons, but he didn't let them go out of my mouth. So where are you living? Have you got two addresses? Daddy wants you to live in the light, not in the dark. I obviously had one foot in the dark, and you know, I suppose I'm letting you know, because you can look at the person up front and think you know who I am. But I'm not perfect. Sometimes we can go through that illusion, like this morning with Trevor and I. Trevor and I, we go back a long way, and as I say, he's borrowed some of my clothes in the past, and I have this old saying that, no, you can't, it's molded to my body. And that's particularly my ski boots. I will not let anybody else wear my ski boots, because they were heated up and they were molded to me. They're a facet of me, but they're not my identity. And so, anyhow. So being accountable, I suppose that's what I've just really covered off, is I'm being accountable to you on who I am, because I could have just stayed quiet and stayed in my own little world and I'm really not fessed up to the reality that, you know, I have a little bit of a problem here and I need to deal with it. So being real with Daddy is the fundamental. You know, watching your finances, watching what you're investing in. Where was I investing when my mouth went awry? It obviously was not in the heavenly realm. Talking to you and fessing up this morning is bringing it into the light. Yeah. I'd like you to think I'm perfect. I'd like you to think the best of me. But that's not being accountable. So Job 12:22, I think I've pretty much covered it, is the shadowy things you need to bring into the light. And that's where we need to be. Then we just get down to the old-fashioned just stealing. You don't need any technology. You don't need anything other than somebody with quick fingers to take what belongs to you. And that's pretty much what Satan is. He's quick-fingered. He can thieve, he can take from you where you sit. We were in Spain one time, and we were having a great walk down, where was it? Madrid it was. And Sophie was very, very small. In fact, she was so small, a bit like what we have here with Vero. She was in a little pouch on my front, and I was a very proud dad, and Jill was walking next to me, and I just happened to step back, And there was a lady with a hand inside Jill's bag, just about to take her purse, passport, everything. Security risk, right here, right now. I took a step back, and I challenged the lady, but I caught out of the corner of my eye this great big burly bloke standing right behind. And I have my child, and it's a different language. All I can do is challenge and change the situation. To have actually held her and done something more, I would have put my child and the situation at risk. So I let it go. So what you perceive as something being meek and mild, tampering around in your world, there's something a lot bigger and a lot evil hanging behind that. So you see this in the real world, and what you see in the real world is actually happening in the heavenly world as well, with Satan and what he wants to undermine. So don't give access to your personal information. Be careful of what's around you. He wants to steal your birthright. He does not want you to be effective. He wants to undermine the very existence of your walk. Remain hidden in Christ. For Christ died, and for life is now hidden with Christ in God. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it biblical. Let's look at what God wants. You can hear what I say, and I could spout for all day and all night, but it doesn't make a difference. It's your relationship with Daddy. Kind of like this next phrase is pretexting. Pretending to be somebody you're not, to get something you probably shouldn't have, to use it in a way that's probably wrong. I say all of these have come from the definitions of the government webpage. And so much reflects what Satan wants to do. He's pretending to be who he's not. To gain you who he shouldn't have. To use you in a wrong way. So I think that really does sum it up. And so don't let Satan presume power over you. He doesn't have it. God has a power. And if Jesus is in us, we have that power, not Satan. He wants to actually underwhelm you, whichever way he wants to whelm you, he'll do it. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endures the cross, scorns its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God's throne, or the throne of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus, because that is the truth. That is our security, not a credit card company. Not me, for sure. That is where the essence is. So, who am I was part of the very first questions I started with. I'm one in Christ. I'm supposed to reflect the love. When I was swearing, I wasn't reflecting very much, very, very well. That's how we're identified, by the love. You saw Claire this morning. If you didn't see love for somebody this morning, then you have a different type of a problem. Because she was just glowing for the love of these young ladies stepping out and dancing. And also for the compassion. And that's what it is. It's love and compassion that we have. But the power of Jesus is also there. So Satan has no power over us unless we give it to him. When somebody's fishing, we give it to them. So when we throw things in the dumpster that we should have actually destroyed and totally eradicated so that it was not recognizable, we gave it away. It says in the Bible about not looking back, but moving forward. When we look back at things and actually dwell on them, it means we haven't given them up. We think that we've given them up. We think we've dealt with them. But if you're thinking about it at this very moment, you probably haven't. Love is somebody needs clothes, you're giving your clothes away. Somebody's sick, you're looking after them. They're captive, and you visit them. I obviously think I must love Trevor because he's worn more of my clothes than anybody else I know. That's okay. But that's how our identity is shown. The reality is, it's not, have I got a job? Have I not got a job? Is it, am I a pastor? Am I not a pastor? It has nothing to do with titles. It has nothing to do with, I am studying music. It has nothing to do with, I'm a teacher. But it has everything to do with where Jesus is in your life, because he is the only one that resides within you. My boss does not reside within me. So if Jesus resides in us, we are a reflection of whom? Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Whoa. If Jesus is in me, then Daddy knows me. And through authority from that, wonders can occur. Like stepping out of the boat. Jesus said, step out the boat. And he stepped out the boat. Where was his eyes? What have I been talking about this morning? Where was his eyes when he stepped out of the boat? On Jesus. What happened when he took his eyes off Jesus? He begins to sink. I could have said that right at the very beginning of the morning, and it would have said everything. His eyes were set on Jesus, and he walked on water. Get out of the boat. Do you have faith to get out of the boat? Do you trust in Jesus enough to get out of the boat? Get out of your comfort zone and step into a place where you could sink. I'm sure he was a fisherman and he could swim. So that's not a bad thing. So he has faith that getting out of the boat's not going to kill him. But to walk on water and keeping his eyes fixed upon Jesus, that's all it took. So being one with him, Jesus is the center. The enemy knows Jesus. He recognizes Jesus. He recognizes his authority. Yet, Satan has no power over Jesus. You saw when he was being tempted for the 40 days, saying, jump off the cliff and that. He said, I don't need to. Because he had faith in his Father. Jesus didn't know exactly what was going to happen and when it was going to happen, because he didn't need to know. But what he needed to know, he had trust. He was out of his comfort zone, yet he still trusted. What I'd like to do this morning is, we talked about being deceived. We've looked at some of the actual solutions on how to do that. But what I want to do is make those solutions a reality, because we've all been defrauded in one way or another. We've all had our comfort zones upset. So there needs to be a little bit of restoration this morning. And what has been stolen from you? What have you let have stolen? Are you still believing the lie
that theft has done. Because the reality is, it's a lie, because Jesus is the reality. It's not you lost this job, that job, or anything else. It's to do with your keeping your eyes on Jesus all of the time. Asking God for forgiveness and believing in the lie in the first place. What does God say about me? What I'd like you to do at the moment is just close your eyes. And I am going to ask you to think of a thought that popped into your mind while I was speaking. There'll be an instance, I'm sure. Now you have a choice. Believe in that lie or believe in the truth. What is God saying about you? And what I'd like you to do is just pray with me at the moment and just repeat these words. Daddy, I want to cast this thought out, this memory out, this event out. I want to forgive the person, the people, even if you don't know who they are, stealing your credit card or whatever, undermining your authority. I want to forgive them. So I want to forgive them for what they've done. I want to release them to know the truth about you. Because my trust is in you. My identity is in you. If you've got 2 feet in 2 different directions, in 2 different places, I'd like you to pray these words. Daddy, help me to stand steadfast with you. Forgive me for standing in 2 different locations at the same time and undermining your authority. I just thank you that you love me. And in the quietness, I'm going to say my words aloud, but you say your words, because I've got to come to Daddy and ask for forgiveness for what I've done. Daddy, forgive me for not trusting in you and for speaking words that I should not have uttered, for thinking things that I should not have thought, because I want to reflect you in my life. I want you to be my identity. Daddy, you've loved me so much, and yet I don't think I've given back as much as you've loved me. So I just ask for your forgiveness right now. For anybody that would like a little bit more prayer, if there's anything that's touched you and you want a little bit more, and you want to talk with somebody, I'd ask you to come up right now. And we'll spend a little bit more time. Okay, and I'm just going to hand the meeting back over to Trevor.
Show us our identity. Hey. Renew our identity in you. In your love. Hey. We ask for grace in the areas where you want to shred things that we've done or those lies that keep coming back. those things would be completely shredded at your cross, Jesus. Hey, left there, never to return. In those places that you would bring your life and light in our hearts and our spirits. Thank you for the new name we have in you, a new identity, a new life in you. Even now, bring that revelation again of just your truth and your identity you've given us, Papa. Ha.
I was just sensing with all the white rose testimonies that we had, and it was really talking about, you know, restoring the image of the Father, like the Father's true heart and the Mother's true heart, and then God's perception of ourselves as, you know, His beloved, His children, His precious, precious creation, His precious beings. You know, and Kev was talking about the dumpster where, you know, Satan goes and tries to bring our past back to follow us, to kind of, you know, nag us on the back, get our attention. Or sometimes we haven't let go of things completely. But that's what Jesus died for. Like, that's the power of the cross, is that He actually did away with all of that. He shredded it, He destroyed it, it's gone. And we're free to be completely free of those things and to have that complete restoration to the Father's heart and to who we really are in Christ. So like, let's let the cross have the power that it has.
And, you know, this is practical. Like, we've worked this out with each other, right? It's when we, you know, if you confess your sins, if you bring it into the light, that's what really has power. So I just encourage you even now, like, if there's someone we're with, you can just share with them. Maybe there's something that's been on your heart. Like, this is something that I've been dealing with a while. And you're like, hey, I want to just share this with you. Can you pray for me for this? Or maybe it's something where you're like, hey, why don't we just pray for each other and ask the Lord, how do you see me? How do you want me to grow in my identity of you? So I encourage you now just to get into a group of two or three and to pray with each other. Either pray, either share something that's on your heart that you want to ask for prayer for in regards to your identity and kind of like, you know, I've been struggling with this, or even those things you haven't really brought into the light maybe. It's like, maybe this is the good time because you're in a safe place to be able to bring that into the light and say, hey, I've been struggling with this. Can you pray for me? And then let the Lord's light shine in that. Ha! And that happens in the body. So you can get in a group of two or three. And if that's not it, then maybe it's just like, hey, you know, why don't we pray for each other and ask the Lord, how do you see? How do I see, you know, Mario? How do I see, you know, Chris? How do I see Christopher? Whatever that is, whoever is in your group, just ask them, hey, Papa, how do you see this person? Encourage each other in our identities in the Lord. Okay, so just, you can make a little group and be the church to each other for maybe like 5 minutes. That'd be good. So...